Ignite your potential and fuel your fire within. I am Ryan Stevens, and I'm here to help you own your spark with the Catalyzing Podcast. We are back with another episode of the Catalyzing Podcast, and I'm so excited to feature today's guest, Chris Poyer, who is the general manager of Perform Better. I've gotten to know Chris over the last decade while attending amazing educational summits and also a big advocate for their company and the products that they sell. More importantly, their focus on education. And just the story of Perform Better is really awesome to go from inspirational thought and idea to just an industry leader in the world, in the realms of healthcare, wellness, fitness, sports, rehab, and whatnot. So, Chris, thank you so much for taking some time to be here on the Catalyzing Podcast today.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to be on here.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk not only about your leadership journey personally, but also your experience with Perform Better. But let's kind of start off. There's so many great things that happen at the summits and educational events. You know, share a lesson that you've learned through your experience attending these events that you think has really shaped your leadership journey.
Sure. Well, I wish it was back when we first started the seminars where I learned this lesson, this valuable lesson, but it wasn't. It was about 10 years into the seminars. It was roughly around 2008. It was at one of our summits. We were now about 5 years into the summits, but we've been doing one days for about 10 years prior to that. And topic wise, we used to have a range of topics all across the board. And one thing that really hit me, a good customer came up to me at a summit, and I went up and I started talking to him in between a break, and it was his first time there. And he was a good customer. And one of the things he said that hit home that actually revamped and changed our philosophy and how we do seminars. And one of the things he said is, he says, I have everything I have of yours. My whole gym is all performed better. He says, but I always thought these seminars were basically a selling seminar. You were getting me here to buy equipment. And it really rang true because back then I didn't care about the topics. The topics were product related. You know, they were band stability ball training, med ball training, band and tubing training, dumbbell training. They were basically named after an implement is what they were. And that was the one thing that hit home that I was like, and here's a good customer, a guy that has everything from us. But his thinking was that we weren't going to deliver good education. We were just getting people here to buy equipment. And that is so far from the truth. So we revamped our topics, and from that day on, we went with no topics could be related to a product. So they had to be conceptual topics. And so since that time, since we revamped that in 2008, our seminars just took a climb. I mean, they just ramped up all the way up until pre-COVID 2019. They just kept climbing, you know, with that same just staying away from product related topics and trying to make them as authentic as possible. Because for us, it's, you know, we've always backed education. We backed education from the very first year we came in 92. We had consultants as speakers where we used to put them in seminars. And so education was a big part of who we were. Mm-hmm. But that was the first time someone said that to me in that way. And it was like, you know what? I have to show people that our education is basically our people are coming to our seminars for the education value of it alone. And so that's what we really tried to do. We put a big emphasis on just the education part of it and keeping them away from products. Now, obviously, as a product company, we're going to be there and we're going to be selling. Right. We're going to have products. But the main emphasis, and anyone will tell you who's been to a summit, is really not about the equipment. It's about the environment. It's about the learning environment. It's about the different concepts. It's about the multiple presenters and from various backgrounds and different trades that are you know practicing and teaching some of the latest techniques that are out there today. So that was a great lesson learned. Like I said, I wish I learned that back in early 2000 instead of 2008. But it was one that was learned, and it revamped the way we went about our seminars.
Absolutely. And to unpack that, just the bigger lesson there is at times we may think we are projecting something, and then it takes someone cross-checking us or calling us out. And in fact, oh, I thought I was making that impression, but thank you for bringing that to my attention. So being receptive to feedback, being receptive to an outside perspective. So, you know what? My purpose was not here to just sell products. Like I wanted to be educational. And then it took someone saying that to you directly, And you had, you know, of course, you're very approachable at your summit. It's been about a decade. 2014 was my first summit attended. And just, you know, you're always around there. You're approachable, easy to chat with. And it's awesome that you took that feedback and you're like, you know, I want to make sure that there's no mistake anymore moving forward, that this is about education. And when you're building your events, one thing that I always notice is it's not just all fitness stuff too. There's a lot of stuff for rehab professionals. There is business development stuff. Kind of how do you go through that process of determining your agenda for the year, or like what topics do you kind of have like an idea of, like things you want, the buckets you want to hit each year?
Yeah. Well, good little, well, it's funny you say that on the different topics and how we hit in. And it's funny you say that, because it was another lesson, if you don't mind me telling another story,
please do.
That was the seminars that had to do with the business end of the topics. And this one came in early 2000. It was at one of our one days. Mm-hmm. And it was a customer that came up to me. And again, I try to be as approachable as I possibly can, because to tell you the truth, our seminars got to the point where they were, from the feedback that we were getting from the attendees. I mean, they were telling us what they liked. So if I wasn't approachable, I wouldn't have been able to hear all of the great ideas that were given to us of what we needed to do, what we needed to change to make them better. But back to that story of how we had a variety of different topics. And the one that rang home the most was the business one, because that was when we were at New Jersey at a one-day seminar, and it was, like I said, a customer that came up to us, and literally the customer just purchased a lot of equipment from us for a gym, and he was, you know, he's been coming to our one days for, at that time, I think it was our fifth year in New Jersey, and he said, you know, he says, I really want to thank you. He says, first of all, I want to apologize that I haven't been able to buy equipment from you until this time. And I'm like, there's no really need to apologize. That's what the company says, but I really want to thank you for what your seminars have done for my business. And they allowed me to grow. They gave me some great insights. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, we were really just touching on some business stuff. We weren't really into a full-fledged business presentation. Mm-hmm. And that just got me thinking, you know what, if we could fix every fitness business in the industry and every fitness business could make money, we would do much better off. So that was our goal. And that's how we started to get business in, because we felt that, you know what, the one thing that was lacking early on, there was a lot of X's and O's and on how to train and what techniques to do and what was the latest and greatest, but there were very few on teaching trainers how to be better business people and how to run a better business and different concepts in the business. And so once we started with that, we saw a complete rise in people making money. We also saw a rise in actually trainers staying in the business a lot longer than they have before. And I always tell this story at every, you know, there's a bunch of people who have, you know, increased this and contribute to this. But there was a, you know, when I first started, I think it was like 3 years, the average trainer was in the business for. And then they didn't make enough money. They got out, they went on to do something else. And it was always fascinating to me, like, why is it only 3 years? Like, it was very, very strange. Like, this is a great industry. Mm-hmm. And so as we went into our business and our motivational ones with the Todd Durkin and the Martin Rooney's and the Thomas Plummers and the Vince Gabriels and the Alan Cosgroves and, you know, in the Mark Fishers, we realized the value of what that did to the industry, and it increased it. I think somewhere around 2018, 17, I think it was up to about 7 years, wow, the average life expectancy of a trainer. So in a short period of time of like 17, 15 years, it grew like 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. And I truly think that has to do with the education. Obviously the industry did grow, but I think what was more important was that the business background grew, and there were now mentors and that were helping people work on their business that kept them in longer, you know, kept them in the industry longer. And obviously as the business increased, so did the pay for trainers. You know, everything mm-hmm. just started to rise, and they realized that it could be a career. They can make money at this. So I contribute a lot to that, and a lot of the business talks and the motivational talks that kept people in our industry for a lot longer than it previously was.
And that carries over across all areas of service professions. You could be the smartest clinician, the best technician, know everything inside and out. But if you don't know how to run your business, or you don't know how to put yourself out there and promote yourself in a way that people will buy from you, and you don't know how to have a business plan that is in alignment with actually making money, it doesn't matter, because you're going to fizzle, or you're going to struggle, or just going to keep running uphill. So you're absolutely right. That's so crucial for us to dive into those topics beyond just the technical aspects of what we do, especially in fitness, where so many people are just going off and starting their own little studios, or they're starting their own business. Yeah. And then what happens is they end up having to work 80 hours a week just to get by, because they're not scaling it, or they're not putting systems into place, or they're not setting their team up for the ability to be as successful as they themselves are, as like a figurehead of the business, you know? So all of that stuff, I've heard that discussed in seminars at your events. And it's so great that you do focus on that. That helps tremendously in the realm of fitness and wellness business. It's truly, truly impactful.
Yeah, no, definitely. That was, you know, that, like I said, that was a big eye opener to us, that it did help out into the industry, that business talks were needed. Yeah. And as we're, you know, as we look today, I mean, there's a lot of mastermind groups out there, and they're all very, very important, because obviously a group of people working on their business, you know, I think, you know, I'm sure the results show that there's much more success when people go to that length. Mm-hmm. To join a group that's going to work on their business and help their business, they all succeed. So I've yet to see someone fail that has joined a group or has followed in business, you know, followed the business path or the business presenters that their business was struggling. It's always been the good business people that are doing very well.
And that's how, when we recognize, when you're self-aware enough to recognize your personal gaps or things that you don't know, you either have to attack it and address that gap yourself, or you got to surround yourself with other people who are successful with it and leverage that and build relationships. And then that way you can be successful together. And that's what those groups are. They help elevate each other. And that's just, it's such a great resource. I'm glad you mentioned that. Let's talk about your personal journey and the Perform Better story, because it's also about collaboration and teamwork. And take us back to the beginning of Perform Better. You know, what was the inspiration to start the company? Did you ever imagine it would grow to be what it is now? It's pretty awesome to see that from the outside perspective.
It's funny. When I came on in 1992, I was the first Perform Better employee. Bill Fork, the founder of the company, had this concept to perform better. And their first concept was to go out after football coaches. That's how I got involved. I got involved. I was a football coach right out of college. I was a head football coach who was basically tired of coaching. I wanted a change. I didn't want to coach. I wanted something different, and it just so happened it was the perfect timing, because they were looking for someone to go after football. And that was really, I mean, we were talking Perform Better in 92. We were a 16 page black and white catalog. We just kicked off our first catalog as I came in, you know, just to try to go out after football strength coaches. And at the time in 92, there wasn't really many strength coaches out there. You know, you had football was dominating the sports, and that was, you know, the collegiate level, there was strength coach, and then the, you know, obviously the professional level, you know, basketball was starting, baseball, there was some strength coaches, and they were just starting to get bigger and bigger. And so that's, you know, the path I had was with football, and that was our initial thing. We were going to go after football strength coaches and basically go after them to basically tell them that, you know, we want to make their athletes better. We want to make them better athletes. That was what we were really all about. We want to make them faster, stronger, more explosive, better stamina. And when we figured if you worked on all of those things, you were going to be a better athlete overall, and therefore be a better football player. Mm-hmm. Obviously that result carried on to every sport. I mean, that's our goal in every sport, is to make athletes better athletes. And in doing so, they'll become better in their sport.
That's awesome. And that translates over into the personal fitness realm as well, too. It's, you know, we're not all athletes in terms of competitive sports, but the personal health and wellness is so important nowadays, especially with all the health concerns out there. So taking that and paralleling it over, to general fitness areas, you know, fitness and wellness coaches, and then even in rehab settings for rehab professionals, athletic trainers, physical therapists. It's the same impact there. It's helping them be a little better than they were before and live a more fulfilling life, really.
Oh, definitely. And that's what we found right away. We found that it's funny, we weren't going after fitness, the fitness world. The fitness world was coming after us. Trainers were coming after us. And we're like, they wanted to do the things that the strength coaches were doing.
Got you.
You know, and you know, they were doing with their clients what basically not at the same level, not at the same weight. We always say at a different speed and at a different resistance level. Mm-hmm. But they're basically, their trainers doing the same thing. They're doing the same thing with their, you know, because we feel that, you know, in our philosophy, when everyone's an athlete, you know, life is an athletic event, you know, you have to move. And so we sort of stumbled into fitness by mistake, and it's sort of one that stuck with us, and the personal trainers sort of got us into that market. And it's, you know, it's not like it's funny that the gyms have changed to more of what we did, you know, from our original product line. You know, it wasn't like we changed to the gyms, and to me, everything that we sold looked like a gym product. It was more along the lines that the trainers were doing some cool things with their clients and their athletes in the fitness world.
This is the second time you've alluded to a pivot, or, you know, you weren't focusing on general fitness and rehab. It was focusing on athlete and football strength coaches. You were thinking you were focusing on education, but everybody thought you were focusing on the product. So you diverted and changed your outward presentation of your seminars. Sounds like this is really important for business owners to do throughout their journey, is to listen, respond, and pivot appropriately. What has been helpful, because change is tough for people, right? Like, we don't always like change, or like you're leading a team. Team, we got this feedback, we got to change course. Like, what's been instrumental in the success of you and your team being able to handle those changes and navigate those successfully?
Yeah, no, you're 100% correct. If you're not changing and you're not pivoting with the times, and, you know, for us, it was just a matter of listening. You know, the answers were going to be told to us. You know, the answers were going to be told to the people who are calling for our equipment. You know, obviously, if we didn't listen, if we didn't look to see who they were, if we didn't try to, you know, to see what they wanted and why they needed it, you know, and dug a little deeper and asked a little bit more and asked some more questions, you know, we would have been stuck in that time warp of, you know, 1992, and we wouldn't have grown. But you're right, any business has to pivot. And obviously, we've just come from probably one of the biggest pivots, you know, during COVID of all time, you know, where we had to pivot. There were no gyms open. There were no strength and conditioning facilities open. You know, there were no one back at schools and universities training at professional places. So we had to pivot a little bit to find out where people were training. Were they going to train at home? What were they going to do? Were they doing online training? So it was just a huge pivot. And again, it's not going to be our last pivot that we're going to do. You know, there's not going to be 90 degree turns, but there's going to be some small angles, some small curves that you're going to take. And it's, you know, the direction's going to constantly change. It's going to wind back and forth. And I think if you're not changing with those and you're not learning them, you're gonna be stuck and you're gonna fail.
A big part of that navigating of change, of listening and responding, is you can't do it alone. You know, you as the general manager can't do it alone. Individual team members can't do it alone. And one thing I've always been impressed with when you come to the summits is just the perform better, the ones who are wearing the shirt, who work for you and with you. You can just tell they enjoy being there and doing what they do. And you have a great culture, at least from the outside, from what we can see, you know, publicly facing, you have just great culture on your team. And let's talk about that and your personal leadership journey, as well as how you've gotten, you know, the team has come together. What are some of the biggest leadership lessons you've learned when it comes to uniting and motivating a diverse team such as the one you have?
Sure. Well, you know, we have a great team, and I keep telling ourselves, you know, perform better's best asset is its team. You know, it's, we got some great people. We pride ourselves in being, you know, the tops in service. And you can't be the tops in service unless you've got a great team that implements that. And it's funny because one of the things for years I've always been hesitant to say is like, we every time I hear from somebody from about, you know, go to a seminar and people come and give me feedback, they're always telling me about my team and the service has been great and this one did great and that one did great. And it's so awesome to hear. That's probably the best things that someone can really hear is how good your team's doing in the service. And it's I think everyone takes that lead and everyone takes that ownership on themselves is to provide the best service that they possibly can. And as I was saying, one of the things that we were always leery of saying is like, oh, we provide the best service out there. And it's for some reason I've always been leery of saying that publicly, whether it through media, through ads, just because I it was one of those things like, oh, anyone can say you have great service. Yeah. And I finally just in our marketing campaign in the last couple of years, we finally started to talk about our service because it's what everyone talks to me about. Whenever I'm on the road and people come up to me, they talk about my team and how good of a job they're doing and the service is excellent. So it's like, you know what? I have to say it because it's what everyone is saying to me. So I do pride ourselves on our team and we have a great group of people and we've had some people that have been here for a long time. I mean, I've been here obviously for 30, going on 33 years. Rob's been here for 25 years, going on 25 years. He's at 20, just going into his 24th year. We have a bunch in their 20th year. It's funny, we have some people that have been around. So it's funny, if you go to a show, you see a lot of the same people from our team. You know, we've been around, we haven't lost anyone during COVID, through a lot of the change that we had and that we did, we still have the same group of people that we had pre-COVID. And it's really good, especially when the feedback that I hear from people, like I said, it's there's nothing more rewarding than hearing a customer tell you how good your team's doing.
That's so crucial. When you get that feedback, it's rewarding. It fuels the fire of like, hey, we're doing something right. Let's keep it going. Yeah. And recently I had a podcast episode with Brian Iwicki, who is the vice president of operations for the Somerset Patriots. And that topic of that conversation was how the employee experience shapes the customer experience. And what you're speaking to there is exactly spot on of it's because of the people on your team that care enough about what they do and the culture that you have that translates into that. It's just easy. It's natural. It's authentic, with that customer service. How would you describe, what are some themes or like descriptors in terms of the internal culture of your team? What are some values or focus areas that you really reinforce to deliver that?
Sure. Well, one of our biggest values that we see is we have a friendly staff. And that's one of the things that we always say is a friendly staff. We really do have a friendly staff. Our staff wants to get to know you. They're all, they're all somewhat former athletes in some way and they're all active in fitness. They've been around education and the things that we've been doing for a while. So it's one of the things that's really prides us on is that friendly service where we genuinely want to know you. We don't, we're asking questions to find out more about our customers because again, we want to learn from our customers. We want to get better every day. And my team takes that on as well, and they go after that and they try to learn more about their customers. They try, they become friendly with their customers. Some of our best friends are our customers. It's strange in an industry that, that when you're doing it for 30, as I tell people, I have more friends in the industry than I do local friends at home because I'm never at home. I'm always on the road or doing something, but I have more friends in the industry than I do, in my backyard.
That's just a testament to how authentic you and your team are with the fact that you just appreciate the opportunity to serve your customers and you're thankful for them. And they're thankful for you. And, you don't have a lot of turnover, but when you do bring in new people, how do you integrate them into a culture like that? I'm sure part of it is about like hiring the right people that fit that culture. But like, what are some of the processes you use when someone coming in new to show them this is how we do things here and we welcome you to be a part of this?
Well, it's funny. honestly, Ryan, you don't have to say anything. Obviously, you're hiring good people. So when you're interviewing them, you're knowing them, you've got a good sense of how they are, but you never know fully in an interview how someone's really going to react. But in all honesty, they father. It's funny. It's when you talk about like the weak link in a chain, you've heard that you've heard that for so long. You're only as strong as your weakest link. And here we truly believe that because we work together as a team. So everyone knows that they need to step it up because there's always, we help each other. We work with each other's clients. We work it from that team based atmosphere and no one wants to be that weak link. So it's easy. They learn by watching everybody else. You don't have to tell them. They see what everybody else does.
That's awesome. And that's contagious when that's happening.
It is.
And in a good way for what you, it could also be on the opposite end if you don't bring it in, but for your situation, it's a very good thing. And then people catch fire with that, so that's awesome.
Correct.
That's awesome. Before we wrap up with a final call to action, just want to remind everyone who's listening in the show notes, of course, www.performbetter.com. You can also find the link to connect with Chris on LinkedIn. Definitely follow Perform Better across social media as well. A lot of great educational content. So Chris, your bio, your information is in the show notes, just so people can get that background and connect with you outside of here. But one final call to action. We've talked today about the importance of a business educating its customers and not just selling product, but educating their customer base. What is one or two tips or advice you would give to the listeners who maybe could do something to level up the education they're providing to their customer base, whoever they are serving?
Sure. Well, one thing I can say on education, which I've seen since COVID, Ryan, is there's a lot of Zoom webinars going on. There's a lot of people that are not going back to, and again, any show we go to or every show we go to, the numbers are, 40 to 60% lower than they were pre-COVID. Yeah. Every trade show we go. And I keep telling people I think that's going to be the biggest mistake in our industry, because I always say where you really do the learning is you do the learning in between the sessions. You do the learning with the person sitting next to you and sharing joint information about your business and their business. It's that whole networking thing that, when we face it, I think we all have gotten to a spot in our life somewhat related through networking. Everyone has, the power of networking is incredible. And it doesn't, you can trace it in so many different ways. But I think that's one thing that's going to be lacking if people don't go back to live events, because you don't get the networking on Zoom. You get the X's and O's, and great, you're going to have everything perfect, but there's more than just the X's and O's. There's actually are you truly learning it? Do you truly understand it? Are you seeing how other people are using that? I think that's where the success comes from. I tell people all the time that, there's more learning at our seminars from people who are sitting next to you in the audience than what's on stage. I mean, there's a lot more because, there's only one business of a person speaking on stage. There's probably, 200 other businesses that are sitting down in the same room with you that can share stories and save you money on mistakes that they've made. So we totally encourage networking. I think that is the biggest aspect. That is what truly I think makes the seminars, the live events work, is the power of that. And I think if people are only doing education online, I think they're going to be lacking that somewhere. And it's going to eventually show up down the road. They're not going to get that opportunity or learn about something through what somebody else is doing, unless they get involved into that networking. So that's something that's really important. That's something that we're making a really big push on this year with our marketing of our summits and stuff, is because, like I said, we truly believe that is really the value in this.
Absolutely. That's a great insight. And while the online education is super helpful, and it's great to get that messaging out there. Absolutely, it's a great take-home tip that if you're able to, as an entity, also have those in-person gatherings and provide that education there so that you're bringing your community, your customer community together. And they'll remember that. They will remember what they learned there and who they met, more importantly, who they met at those events. So
100%. You're 100%. They may forget the exercises they learned, but they'll remember how they feel when somebody gave a presentation, or they'll remember how they felt when they talked to someone who they met for the first time that has a business just like theirs, that them in some way sitting next to them. So yeah, there's a lot more learning that can go on at live events than actually is led on that's from on the stage.
Absolutely. Great stuff. Chris Poyer, General Manager, Perform Better. Thank you so much for taking some time to share your story, your insights. Keep doing the great things that y'all are doing. Keep it going. We truly appreciate it. And I wish you and your team the very best here the rest of 2024.
Thanks, Ryan. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. Have a great day.
Thanks. You too.